We're back again. We're having crazy problems here, and that's basically one of the things I wanted to talk about. Hopefully we can stay on there. We might have to go actually even to a cell phone because the lines are just bouncing like crazy here. There's a huge storm going on. We're in the middle of Snowpocalypse 2. We went through the other one a little while ago and had some tree missiles come through our roofs and just most of the trees, any tree that wasn't really stout just snapped in half here in the area and took out the power lines and everything else. But anyway, everything's back up again, but now we're having another just insane winds here. It's actually rocking the house, but it's pretty crazy. One of the things I think this has brought about is that we are moving very quickly into these earth changes, and there's so many people out there that are saying, you know, we're all going to hold hands and meditate and tippy-toe into past 2012. I don't think that's going to happen. There's some big challenges ahead of us, and where I do believe that things are going to hit critical mass, you know, around that December, 21st, 2012 event, and we do a major shift, you know, we've got a lot of challenges between now and then. And I wanted to talk about some of those challenges. The energy shift that's going on right now, we're just getting pummeled with just massive influxes of energy. The sun threw off a flare as big as the sun itself just recently, and some rather large filaments. Luckily, it wasn't aimed at the Earth, but it's going to affect the Earth. Anytime something comes off that huge or that massive off the sun, we're going to have crazy stuff going on. And it's going to affect the electromagnetic fields around the human aura. It's going to throw people into process, you know, all of your necromancers, your deepest fears and wounds are going to come up for you to face and look at. It's quite a shift, and we had to go through that here at the ranch as well. Nobody's immune to it, but here at the ranch, being on a vortex, we have like triple duty here because it seems to hit us even stronger, and our stuff comes up even faster. So you know, basically, you know, we're going through this shift, and it's exponentially growing. And there's time periods where everything is going to hit the fan. So you're going to see it in every walk of life. You're going to see crazy shifts in your relationships. You're going to see a lot of unprocessed old wounds and traumas just coming up to the surface. You're going to see it, you know, in your extended families. You're going to see it everywhere, you know, in your businesses, in your politics, in your economics, you know, in the weather itself. And you're going to see an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. This is all part of that shift. And it's a good thing. It's we're moving through doing a lot of cleansing, a lot of cleanup, and getting ready for a new earth, a new program. But when you see these things happen, and I kind of say, all right, you know, let her go, let her rip. Let's clean this place up, get on with it. And other people go, oh, God, it's a tragedy. That's really bad. That's negative. You know, it just depends on your perspective. I want to talk about a few things that are going on to just give people an update. This energy shift, it's so important to go within, you know, go within to creationary mind. Don't get into reactionary mind where you're processing and blaming and projecting and throwing your pain body out on somebody else and running around with your little pain ball trying to slam it onto somebody else and make somebody else responsible, you know, for whatever sadness or sorrow or fears and, you know, and don't add those into circumstances which don't really merit that kind of charge. It's so important right now because that's what's happening on the planet. And I'm getting phone calls all from all over the world right now, people saying, what is going on? Like everything just came up to the surface, deep sadness, deep rage, you know, deep pain, you know, all these things are coming up to a point where you know, people are running around and trying to place this. They're trying to put it on people and places and things. And it's coming up. It's bubbling up through us, and we need to own it. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, we can run around and you know, play the paintball game, you know, and go and displace this and dump it all over the place, you know, or we can just stop and go into these energies and feel them and heal them, you know, call on your own God self, your own higher self to assist you in this process. But it's a time of going within to internalize these things, go within, seek out the source of these energies. If you're feeling anger or rage or sadness or all these other things coming up, you know, go into them, find out where they're coming from, trace them back to the roots. You know, odds are, you know, what you're putting them on has nothing to do with them. It's just a touchstone to bring them up, and they're already within self. So, you know, that's a major event going on. It's a global thing. And, you know, you're seeing it. The old programs, the old paradigms just aren't working anymore. And, you know, some of this outer expression is necessary because the world is pretty messed up right now. You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, the elite and the power brokers and the political arena and all of these things are just a mess, and they need some major overhauling and transmutation. And so there are sometimes, I spoke with one Lama, and he talked about justifiable rage, and we spoke a lot about it, you know, for hours. And I was trying to find out what's justified, but basically he says to use that energy in a constructive manner. He said, you know, sometimes because of events and things that have happened, you know, anger and rage is justified, but you have to rechannel and refocus that energy. Don't feel guilty about being upset about it. Just channel it into something positive, or channel it into a change, and you know, work it that way. You know, try to make it something. You know, use the energy for something positive anyway. But I wanted to talk about too there's something going on with the pyramids, and the pyramids are activating, and it's not just the pyramids, but a lot of mountains are vortexes as well. And they're where they need to be. They're right where they need to be. And there's huge energy signatures coming off of mountains. And people are actually photographing beautiful violet lights coming off at the top of these mountains, and beams coming off the pyramids. They're measuring these beams. And as they go away, they get exponentially stronger, which is not like any technology we know of today. You know, you take a flashlight, and the further it gets away from its source, the weaker it gets. And but these things are actually growing. There's some type of scalar wave or scalar technology, and they're connecting into this giant cloud that's surrounding the Earth right now. A lot of people have different names for it. Some people call it a photon belt. In the Palladian traditions that were passed down, they call it the rattlesnake prophecies or the rattlesnake energies. But it's this huge wave of energy that goes out, and it crosses through the Pleiades, through Orion, and then it swings back and comes back to Earth. And we're in the middle of that right now. You know, this is science, folks. This isn't woo-woo or prophecy. You know, this is actually being measured and you know, photographed, measured, whatever. It's happening. So anyway, they're having a lot of problems with GPS. And I know some people that work for the airlines and other people that they're having to constantly reset their GPS. They're losing it. They're losing their signals. Pilots are having problems with their GPS. Around the world, this is happening. Closer to the equator, it seems to be worse. So they're having total failure with the GPS systems and other satellite technologies. And it's mainly due to this cloud, you know, this energy cloud. There's a couple other things I wanted to talk about I wanted to talk about these boxes, you know, these metal boxes that are humming and showing up on beaches everywhere. And it's all over the internet. Well, I hate to break it to you folks, but I don't think this is for real. I've done research into it myself. Other people have. We've sent people down to these locations where these boxes are supposed to be. The boxes aren't there. They've never been there, according to locals, and nobody knows anything about these boxes. So I would be really careful about some of these stories circulating around, because a lot of them are hoaxes. They're psyops operations to set people up. And now, you know, a bunch of channels jumped on it and they started giving reasons for these black, these big metal boxes and why they're there and everything else. And you know, they aren't there. I mean, I've had reputable people I know really well, and they talked to the officials, they talked to everybody, you know, right after this story broke, went down and checked it out, and they just aren't there. And, you know, so you know, it's either there or it's not there. And some people are going, oh, it went into the fourth dimension. You just can't see it. You know, and I said, well, somebody photographed a dog, you know, standing next to one of these boxes, and they're three dimensional objects, you know, so everything was 3D around this box. But, you know, it's basically, they just aren't there. Sorry to break it to you. But there is a lot of other things going on, and they don't really need to drop a box down on a beach to do it. They are shifting energies. They're helping to balance out the planet. You know, they're doing it from ships. They're doing it from other dimensions. They're, you know, we don't even need to be to see it for them to do it. I mean, there's a lot of things being done. They're working with the grid. Okie doke. I don't know if we're back online again. I'm hoping we are. We've lost our signal. Yep, we're back. Okay, so anyway, maybe somebody didn't want me talking about those black boxes. I don't know. But it's dropped off again. And, you know, who the heck knows what that's about. But anyway, there's a few other things I wanted to talk about is that I'm really wondering, I've been hearing these there's some other things going on where they talk about these mass arrests. And, you know, there are mass resignations. You know, a lot of the banksters are stepping down. They're stepping out of the picture. There's a big difference between arrests and resignations, because I've been hearing this for a long time that these people are being arrested, or they were arrested and they're in jail. And then you see them on mainstream news out, you know, stepping out of their limo, going to some fancy restaurant or something else, or some meeting, and they're all, you know, fine and dandy. So anyway, I'm all for this huge change that people are talking about, but I'd like a little clarity on that, and we need to be clear on this, is that, you know, they are still running around there, you know, like Bernanke, you know, Geithner, the Bushes, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, they're all cruising around, you know, driving around in their limos and doing their thing. So if you hear about one of them actually being arrested, I'd love to hear about it. But I think maybe the head of the IMF or something was arrested for prostitution or something, but that's kind of a different story. But, you know, for the bankster crimes and all the other nonsense that went on, you know, it hasn't happened yet. I think it will happen, but we need to just get real clear on the reporting and just say, okay, there's been a lot of step downs. You know, maybe the rats are leaving the ship. That's what I think. I think they're moving off to the little hideaway places. And, you know, who knows? They're probably going off to Paraguay and wherever else they have their little condos, but or fortresses, you might say. I know that's probably where the Bush family's going to end up. But anyway, you know, we need to just get some clarity on that. That it'd be great if they flee, great if they leave. It would be even greater if we got some of those trillions of dollars back that they absconded with. You know, but nonetheless, it's you know, resignations, not really arrests. So anyway, we'll stay tuned to that one and see how that turns out. I would love to see the other side of that picture. One of the things I've been watching, and I've been trying to figure this out. And if you've been watching Coast to Coast lately, you know, I know they have a lot of different guests on, but it really seems to me they keep moving towards this false flag ET invasion scenario. And the guests they have on over and over are painting a very black picture. They just had some guy on, I don't know, he was some Christian theologian or something, and he had it all down, and just all the ETs were demons. You know, there are no ETs, there is no extraterrestrial life, and it's all demonic. And, you know, he just went on and on and on, just very sure of himself, you know, through this whole thing. And he said, all of my studies in the scriptures have brought me to this conclusion, you know. And my advice to him was maybe get your nose out of the book and start doing some studies in the real world, you know, and get out of antiquity and check into what's going on in the here and now and do some research, you know, other than you know, the Bible, basically. But most of it is all based on the Bible. But anyway, you know, if you really understood the big picture, you realize, yeah, contact was all throughout the Bible. Some of the contact was good, some wasn't. You know, some of the gods that were running around down here were benevolent, some were malevolent. You know, it's very clear when you look at the events that happened back then. I mean, there's this all-loving, all-forgiving God, and then there's this jealous, wrathful God that's a tyrant that really enjoys slaying whole villages and destroying children and women and, you know, not unlike our policy, you know, today. But anyway, you know, maybe these guys are following that God, and maybe they should start tuning in to the all-loving, all-forgiving God, you know, in our foreign policy, and we'd be doing a lot better. But anyway, you know, it's interesting. I've just been watching over and over and over again, hearing the program that, you know, it's all negative. It's all, you know, they're here to slice and dice us. They're here to abduct us. They're here to conquer us. They're here for this. They're here for that. And you're just not hearing the spiritual side of things, or the ultra dimensional side, or the benevolent side. And we should, you know, really be given a little thanks, because we're getting a lot of help by these higher beings. And actually, there are beings coming in, and they're actually on our behalf cleaning up the mess down here, because there has been a lot of interference in the past with low-level contacts and some less than dubious officials that decided to make agreements with them. So anyway, the benevolent ones are coming in. They're cleaning up these messes. They're cleaning up a lot of the technologies that we've been abusing, you know, through certain agencies and operations. And they're very busy right now trying to keep things together here on the planet to help us evolve and get through these times. So it's very sad in a way to see this, somebody with a listening base that big, totally deny the other half of the story, and to continue to, you know, promote, you know, what looks like an ET false flag invasion. You know, there isn't going to be an ET false flag invasion. Basically, the ETs that are leaving now are the ones that have been here for a long time, and they're being actually kicked out. They're not invading. The ones coming in are the benevolent ones that are coming in to put a stop to a long, long history of malevolence and self-serving beings that have been running amok down here, and those who serve those self-serving beings on the earth. You know, it's like there is a negative earth crew, you know, down here doing their thing as well. But anyway, we need to rethink that and reshape that. And I think if you have access to millions of listeners and you started welcoming the benevolent ones that are here to assist us in this awakening healing process, and initiated contact with these beings and their assistance in this process, we could turn this planet around very quickly. But if you want to keep promoting the fear and the old fear, doom and gloom, biblical approach, they're here to slice and dice and eat us, and they're all demonic and everything else, then you know, what are you doing for the ascension process? You're not really helping with it. I do address the negative. I don't ignore it. I know it's there, but let's have a balanced message. Let's bring in the positive and give thanks and appreciation, and actually initiate help from those on high to help turn this planet around. And then we're going to have some amazing things happen here. You know, we do have to initiate things. We do have to use our free will, and we have to choose to operate, you know, from creation, remind, and focus on love and joy and bliss, and not participate in a lot of these wars and any actions which are not in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth. That's the bottom line. And the more we choose that approach and choose unity consciousness and choose to work together, and stop all this other nonsense, then we are going to have a really good chance of turning this planet around. I have faith that it is going to turn around. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk between now and 2012. I do think we're going to make it. A lot of us are going to make it. I think a lot of us are going to choose other ways of continuing our process, our learning process, which might not be with a physical body, but you know, we are eternal beings and we do continue. That's the bottom line. So we have to match the Earth's frequency. The Earth has chosen to ascend and go to the next level. The grids are already in place. They're being activated. We have to go with that flow. That's the bottom line. Resistance is futile. You know, you're being assimilated into Christ consciousness, fifth dimensional consciousness, and you're going to go through the fourth and into the fifth. Some people will stay in the fourth. But anyway, that, you know, that's a Jamesism, you know, if you want to accept it. But most of the other shamans around the planet are very aware of this, and that's what they're focused on. I wanted to get some call-ins because I wanted this show to be for people who wanted to come in and share. And I want to give out these call-in numbers. So we've got a toll-free number for U.S. and Canada. It's 888-627-6008. And if you want to call in on line one, it's 530-327-7602. And line two is 530-413-4510. If you want to call in and talk about some of the experiences that you're having and, you know, just need a little help to get through these shifts and these changes, you know, we're all ears here and share some of your experiences, like, you know, on what on earth is going on. That's the kind of the title of the show. So looks like we're holding up here. The Skype gods are coming through, you know, if there is such a thing. But anyway, it's been really interesting. One of the things you're going to see, we're going to see, you know, the internet dropping off and on and off and on. That's part of the changes. And you're going to see a lot of fluctuations in the grid and problems with the grid, the electrical grid. You're going to see a lot of processing going on with people, emotional outbursts and people going through their stuff. That's another part of the process that's underway right now. And you're going to see definite economic and social economic changes, big ones, massive ones, you know, as we go into the changes and through these times. We're already seeing it. It's already unfolding right now, but it's going to continue. And, you know, the old world has met its, it has to reach its epic, you know, it's the old program, the old Illuminati, power through enslavement, you know, greed, unbridled greed, actions against humanity, the earth, all this has to hit it has to hit its apex, and then it's just going to implode and fall in on itself. So anyway, we're in that process right now, and you're going to see the sun just going ballistic. You know, some of the NASA scientists are saying, no, it's not. It's going to calm down. It's totally calm right now, and there's nothing to worry about. Well, you know, other NASA scientists are saying, yeah, no way. This is going to be the biggest solar cycle we've ever seen, and it seems to be going in that direction. So there's a program that I gave a long time ago. I gave it on the Mitch Batros interview, and this was way back in the early 90s. And I talked about how these solar storms affect the human consciousness, and they create, you know, emotional outbursts, agitation, you know, a lot of process as it hits the bioelectric fields around the body, how it's going to create erratic weather, crazy weather patterns, you know, moving the jet streams around. And that it's going to create an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. And they've been using this formula for God knows how long. They always left out the human aspect of it, you know, and they said solar storms is going to create erratic weather, which is going to create an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity as the earth absorbs this. But now they're starting to add in the other aspect of it. And, you know, it's a reality. We are connected to the sun. What happens on the sun is mirrored here. And what happens here is mirrored on the sun. So we can actually affect the sun, or the group consciousness here on the earth can affect the sun, and the sun can affect the earth. So it's all connected. There's no disconnect here. We all live in this big unified field, and some aspects of that unified field are very defined. So basically, you know, we're in for a journey. It's going to be a crazy one. And so buckle up and hang on. Learn to depersonalize things. Learn to hold your own center, you know, and try to find that unconditional loving space that you can hold others in, even when they're throwing nasty grams your way or going through their process. You know, we've got to hold it together. And that's what it's all about. And it's all about personal responsibility. So, you know, the ego will hang on so hard into making something else external the problem. And if only I could fix this, and I need to move here, or I need to go here, it will just hold on to that like a bulldog and a, you know, like a pit bull, basically. And as we go deeper into our stuff, it's going to hold on tighter and tighter. But it never is and never was the problem. You know, we need to see what that touchstone is doing, what it's, you know, doing with us. You know, and sometimes there is a need for setting boundaries, and sometimes there is a need for saying, hey, I'm not going to participate in this. You know, this is not where I want to go. You know, if you want to heal it, if you want to sit down and talk about it and clear this out, great, you know, let's do it. But if you want to continue to focus the nasty grams and the negativity and the everything else, then let's try something else, you know. So sometimes, you know, we do have to set boundaries. Sometimes we do have to say, I really don't want to accept those projections or those condemnations, whatever you want to call them, you know, whatever they are, whatever is lessening your fields or whatever. You can say, you know, that doesn't feel good. I'm just going to go within and clear this up, clear the energy up, and maintain my own space here. And if things are manifesting in your outer world, look at them. You know, take them, go within, go meditate on them, and just say, why is this here? You know, what is this telling me? You know, what am I seeing here that may have happened before, and how do I do things differently? But it is, the bottom line, it is all about going within and not externalizing things right now, because, you know, that's what's happening. Most of the planet is in an external process. It's in an external blame, project, fix it in the outer, and then we'll all be happy. But can you imagine if we started a new movement called, like, Occupy God Self? Or if we started a new movement, you know, you know, anonymous as Unity Consciousness, and nail anything that's outside of Unity Consciousness, you know, that doesn't see God and everyone and everything, including self. You know, it's kind of interesting. We could start all these movements, but you know, the bottom line is the main movement is within. For us to go within, you know, it is so important right now. The folks over there at, I can't think of his name, the TM movement, basically, and other scientists have done incredible experiments where groups have gathered together and they held a consciousness and focused on love and joy and bliss and held that energy. And exponentially, it affected everybody around them. The crime rate went down. You know, a lot of the accidents went down. The 911 calls went down. They did it in places that were war-torn, you know, and they shifted towards peace. It really does work. And if you get enough people, I can't remember what the number is. It's something squared, like one person affects 10 squared or something people. It's something outrageous, the effect that just one person can have on the collective. So if we start looking at this and focusing on this and actually become that beacon and allow these things to fall away, these old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences and just tell the ego, yeah, okay, you know, you've done a good job. Now it's time to just drop it. You know, let it go. It's not working. You know, let's just let all of this stuff and, you know, take our pain bodies and just, you know, create our own inner toilet and flush them down. You know, just ask your own God self, your own higher self to come in and clean up the mess. And they will. You'll be surprised. And you can do it very quickly and gracefully if you act in conjunction with the higher consciousness and energy, or you can do it in a very slow and painful way if you just want to do it in the physical. So there's two roads to take, and you're loved unconditionally, whichever road you take. But one road is a very hard road and a very painful road, and the other road can happen very quickly and gracefully. You know, again, that's up to us. But I think I've covered most of the information. Again, if people want to call in and talk about some of the things they've experienced, you know, feel free to call us in. We've got the toll free number. If you got your pencil handy, I'll give you a minute to grab your pencil.
Are
and
you
I'll give this again.
Yeah.
Oh, I got him. All right, we've got Lucy. Let's get Lucy on from BC online too.
Yay!
Hey, Lucy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I like you a lot, James. I feel you're my brother.
Oh, thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question about the lion beings.
Oh yeah.
Do you know where they are from?
You know what I was told. They're actually from a whole nother dimension. But if we, they've been in history aligned with Sirius. And then some actually say they come from Lyra as well, but they're spread throughout, you know, the galaxy and actually throughout the dimensions, because there's some that are fifth dimensional that look like humanoid cat beings, you know, very beautiful beings, very loving, very beautiful beings. And then there's some on the sixth dimension that actually look more like a panther, kind of, but they're upright. They can be upright or they can go on all fours, doesn't matter. But and we've seen these ones that are actually seventh dimensional, and they actually are more of a lion. And they're very big. They're 17 feet tall. Very, very big beings. And when they come in, you know they're there. You know, their presence is just incredible.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah. So, okay, it's more than I've expected.
Have you seen them? You had contact or meditations with them?
No, but it's just that I worship the cats. I know it's not okay. I don't worship them really, but mm-hmm. I find them so royal and so wonderful and so healing that I'm really, really, really wanting to see the feline race. And anyways, I want to.
I bet cats are really drawn to you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they come around you. See, a lot of times that's because you may have been one, because we've been all these different beings throughout the cosmos and the dimensions, and then we've chosen to incarnate here. So I know a lot of people. I can just look at them, and I know in their soul they're a feline, or they're one of they're connected to these lion beings, or the cat beings, or whatever. And it's funny because you can see it in their eyes, sometimes in their movements, the way they act, and usually cats are really drawn to them. Other cats will come to them, and they have a real affinity towards cats. And, you know, there's nothing, the Bible, you know, ancient times, the Hebrew just hated them, you know, because the Egyptians loved the cats. And, you know, they had statues of humanoid felines that protected, you know, the pharaohs and things like that. So in India, they call them the benevolent protectors. They call them Narsringa. But they're here now. I mean, they're back and they're assisting us right now on the planet. And they're helping us immensely. In shifting, you know, the energies here and turning the planet around.
That's absolutely fabulous. I wanted to ask you, maybe if I have time, about, do you know if the pyramids that are activating, what is it doing exactly? Is it? Do you have any information about this?
You know, I think they're doing two things. One, they're activating a grid system, and two, they're actually a protection system, and it's a dual effect that's going on, and it's actually being measured. You know, people are photographing it and measuring it. The one down in Kosovo, Dr. Sam down there, I don't want to say his name. I think it's Madonovich or something like that. I'm going to say it wrong, but you know, they're actually measuring the energies coming off the pyramid there, and he said they're off the scale, and they wow. climb exponentially as they go further out.
Yeah, I've read that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride. That's all I can say.
For sure. And well, just a little quick thing, maybe. I was wondering if you could film your friend, the monk who is disappearing. If you could film him during this during his meditation, I would love to see how it's happening. You know, what are his movements and what sound is he making? Or
we do have a series of photos.
Fascinating.
Yeah, but we haven't we haven't done it with film. But
anyway,
looks like we're losing you a little bit. But anyway, thanks for calling in and meditate on those beings and you'll get, you know, an incredible bliss hit from them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you very much, Jane.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
We've got a lot of calls here, so we'll have to kind of keep it short. I've got Matt from Florida on line 3 and see if we can bring Matt on.
Hi, James. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hello? Okay. I'm doing pretty good. So basically what I was calling in to talk about was at the beginning of the show, you were talking about how 2012 was like bringing up a lot of pain and sadness in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was weird because I felt that exact same thing happening just as this year started. And, you know, it's like, it's not just pain. It's like there's this resistance to healing. You know what I mean? Hello? Hello? Hello.
Just bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're kind of hot and live right now, so I'm going to bump right in and play DJ for just a moment, only because we do have a lot of callers and one live. Hang in there with us, Matt. Don't go anywhere. We're just having a little fun, maybe more fun than we should. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with more As You Wish Talk Radio with James Gilliland.
Okay, looks, hopefully we're back on. I'm not sure. We keep dropping off here. Yeah, we're back on again. Matt, are you still with us or we moved on? I guess we lost Matt. Anyway, let's bring on Sherry, see if we can get Sherry on the line. Sherry, are you with us? Interesting. Looks like I don't know what's going on here. Okay, let's see if we can get Andrew on.
Hello?
Hello, Andrew. Are you with us?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, barely, but if you can speak up a little bit, it'd be great.
Okay, yeah. Just wanted to call and tell my experiences from the start of the year as far as bodily symptoms that I've been having, and I'm correlating it with the solar flare.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of head pressures going on and pains all over random times. And what I'm really noticing is almost like light sparkles in my peripheral vision that I'm starting to notice. And you know, sometimes you gotta really go in and meditate on that because you could think you're going crazy, especially if you don't have anyone around to talk to. especially in the area I'm in. I know no one around here that I can talk to about this.
Yeah, I've heard that. I have friends from Kansas and calling all over the place, and actually they've told me the exact same thing. They said, my crown is lighting up. I'm seeing things out my peripheral vision. My body's going through all kinds of aches and pains. I'm having heart palpitations, and then I'm fine, you know, and all kinds of things going on. And definitely, just as you mentioned, it's all part of the shifts and part of the changes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the bodily stuff is what originally woke me up about 5 years ago. I was just starting having what I felt to be like pains, but really they were just sensations in my back, and ended up going to the doctor and getting all kinds of tests done a few different times because it just sparked so much anxiety in me. And finally they said, you know, there's nothing wrong with you and we can't understand what's going on. And, you know, that's pretty much ignited it. So, you know, I went looking for real answers and this stuff just resonated with me so deeply. And after a few good meditations, you know, I really, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this stuff is real. And looking at the surface and walking through everyday life, you know, bumping shoulders with the society, you would never think that. But, you know, we've got this little underground world here going on that it's a lot. It's a lot when you're by yourself, you know?
Why don't you just keep going for a little bit there while we bring James back? Continue. Most fascinating, my friend. Continue.
And you know what? I do follow some forums, and I'm finding
the person
whom
you're trying to.
Yeah, no, keep going. That's just a little bug in the system.
I can't tell. You know, it sounds like I'm either breaking up or whatnot.
No, I'm surprised because you're on one of our best lines. We have many, many lines, digital and even analog. You're one of our best, but we've had to amp you 400%. We never do that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so something's wrong. Something's
wrong. Train of thought.
Well, folks, you're just hearing a little chat by the engineer and one of the callers, and I do apologize, but we are trying to get our host, James Gilliland, back. We should have him back here shortly, hopefully. Don't go anywhere, folks. It does get better. It always gets better. You gotta love internet radio. That's what we love about internet radio. I mean, if it's not live, what is
okay.
it? All right. James,
are we back?
Back. Good. All right. I think we still have your guest with us, or your caller.
Okay.
Andrew, are you there? Andrew.
Yes, I am.
Excellent. All right.
Okay. Sorry about that. It looks like one of those prophecies just happened because our net is popping off and on and off and on. And so we are in the middle of snowpocalypse right now, I guess, with huge winds. But are you there, Andrew?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so is there anything else you wanted to... I think we've got some other people on the line, so... What's that?
Yeah, I'll let them go ahead, Ben, because I'll let them go ahead. I just...
All right, well, thanks for calling in and hang in there, you know, because we're all going through this, and you're not alone.
Thank you. You too.
All right, and I don't know who we've got left because the lines are dropping off and on, but I think we've got either Sherry or Tina.
Who have we got? I'll just jump in there. I think we lost a few of them again.
Okay.
It's been a strange evening. Always with you, it's a strange evening. The forces love you.
Some of the
forces, anyways.
Yeah. You know, I did one show in L.A., and they had six incoming lines. They lost all six. They couldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah. You've been with us for years, and you've always been a delightful challenge. We love you. We love you. I'll let you carry on, but we don't have any more callers at the moment.
Okay, so we've only got a couple minutes left, but and then we'll bring on.
Hang in there, folks. We're just cutting in and out a bit. We have you, James. James? James, James, we need you in the bridge.
Back again. I hope I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. Know. And actually, we do have one of your callers back by a lovely name, Tina. Tina?
All right, Tina.
Line two.
Welcome to the show, Tina. Are you with us? Looks like we lost Tina.
She was with us. Yeah. Maybe she's playing shy.
Yeah. Interesting. Boy, it's, this is quite a show. it never ceases to amaze me how many problems can arise, with these shows and with the powers that be and all the other nonsense going on. But obviously we're over the target. We wouldn't be getting so much flack, and we must be reaching a lot of people because somebody is taking issue with it, which is to be expected. But anyway, it looks like we're coming up to the end of the hour here anyway. And we've got a new show right after this, which is pre-recorded. So hopefully it won't be dropping off because I won't be at the other end of the call. And we've got Joe Mara and beautiful
guy. Both your callers back. I apologize. Lucy and Tina are back on. So I do.
Should we go up to Should we go up to the end of the hour with this or?
That is totally up to you. They're your hours, so play it as you wish. We can always carry the next program over as long as you like.
Oh, that's okay. Well, we'll go with these now. I don't know who I have. Do I have Sherry or Tina, or both?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh. Yes, you're on.
Hi, who's this?
This is James.
Oh, hi, this is one goofy show, huh?
Yeah, it is. Hopefully it'll hang in
there. Yeah, you guys lost me, but I called back. This is Sherry Phillips in Yuma, Arizona. Uh-huh. And I have a lot of questions, but I know your time is short, so I'm just going to ask one. About a month ago, I was looking up at the sky towards the Orion's Belt, and I could see a reddish-orange light up in the sky. It lit up really bright, and then it went dim, and then horizontally next to it, it lit up really bright, and then went dim. Next to that, it lit up really bright and went dim, and then it started in succession. It did it all over again, and then it just stopped. Do you have any idea what that was?
Well, it's funny. It's interesting because I noticed a lot of the they'll go right to that area to show you that it might be like an Orion Council of Light ship, an Orion mothership or something like that. They may be showing up in that area, but we see that on a nightly basis. We see every color
the
ship.
The red orange lights like that are so big.
Yeah. It sounds like maybe a big mothership. I know when they're in our atmosphere, they have to use the orangish and reddish frequencies to maintain, the lift with some of their propulsion systems or the magnetics. It's just the way it works. But when they're out in space, they'll shift into a blue light, or a white light. But maybe you saw something coming in close, like a big old mothership up there or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really neat, though. But I don't know. I'm always looking up and seeing. I see things every so often, but that was pretty neat to see that. And
yeah.
Also recently in this area in Mexicali, Mexico, I heard that there was a UFO hovering over the airport in Mexicali for an hour. And I know it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard they're doing it everywhere. They're showing up in Russia. They're showing up all over the place. But, you know, and funny, the ones over the Russian airports have these cat-like noises over the speaker, which freaked out the people that were the pilots and the tower. And somebody said also, too, when that comet U2, whatever it was, came through, they were picking up some female feline voice broadcasting. They actually changed the trajectory of that event. That comet was actually headed for the Earth, and it was the trajectory was changed. And then they thought it was going to hit the moon, and then it changed again. So we got a little help on that one.
Well, I heard that this UFO in Mexicali, that there was some strange sounds in the area, too, going on, which I've been kind of hearing about, too, strange sounds around the world.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's getting even crazier. I've got one more caller. Feel free to email me, and if you want to ask those other questions, or just go to eSETI.org.
So thank you so much, and thank you for what you do. You really inspire me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We're going to bring Lucy on real quick. We just got a minute left.
No problem. I'm just offering myself as a sacrifice, you know, to use me as you wish.
A sacrifice?
Hello?
Yeah.
Nether of speech. I wanted to ask you about if you know who might be the... You must know about some morphing ships.
Yeah.
That we see, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they are beautiful, and I was wondering if you knew from who they were. Like, is it the Galactic Federation of Light, or if
you know, we saw one here that actually morphed into as many as four ships and backed one again, and did all kinds of crazy things that defy all the laws of physics that we know. And it was an Arcturian ship, is what we found out later. And so, okay. But a lot of these ships have this ability to morph in and out, and some of them can actually create a hologram and make you think there's something else, like a plane or a helicopter, or even project those sounds out as they go by. A lot of them don't always get it right, you know, so there'll be something wrong with it. You go, wait a second, something's wrong with this, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yes, I've heard that, too, that they can appear something else. Okay.
Yeah, they've got some pretty extreme technology, and I think our black projects have some of that technology as well, so you never know, unless you go into your inner sensitivity and feel who's on the ships.
Yeah. And, maybe I could... I saw a 747, a Boeing... being stopped in the air, it was flying and then it stopped, and it's been stopped by, there was a big, obviously it was a spaceship because it was a big bright light, but a very rectangular. It was not a light that was, cut like a cookie, you know, it was really rectangular, the light. And I saw the airplane coming, and I was looking at the light with my sister, and we saw the plane when it arrived just under the bright light, it stopped completely, and we were watching the time, and it stopped exactly the famous 10 minutes. And it stopped exactly 10 minutes, and then it started again. The lights of the ship, of the plane were still blinking, you know.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And it was immobile in the air. And when it when the ship flew, it did a big flash, flashing, illuminating all the sky and all the city. It was so bright, and it went so fast in the vertical area, and it disappeared. It made a few zigzags, and it disappeared so quickly, like in one second it was disappeared. It was fantastic, full of joy.
Amazing.
But I'm
I would love to talk to the people on that plane and see what their experience was, because I'm sure they've got some missing time. And, you know, 10 minutes in a situation like that could be like 2 weeks on their time. They could have beamed everybody off the ship and taken them to school, and who knows. But, unfortunately, we're out of time. Feel free to call in again. We've got to end this show and start up the next one. But thanks again for calling in, and get some photographs or some video of those ships in your area.
Yeah, well... It was a long time ago, but very interesting. Thank you very much, James.
All right, Goodbye. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Well, we're ending the show, folks. It was quite a whirlwind here of off and on, losing the channel and the connections, but we got through it. And we've got Joe Marr on the next show, so have a great evening and enjoy the next show. Greetings, this is James Gillen, and I'm your host. There's a lot of things going on and a lot of things to talk about, and I can't think of a better guest to have on the show other than Joe Marr. So we're going to bring Dr. Marr on, and he's a doctor of nursing practice, hypnotherapist. He's a Reiki master, spiritual counselor, holistic healthcare practitioner, explorer, researcher, speaker, radio show host, and frequent guest on Aware and Cutting Edge Radio and Internet programs. And he's been in this field for quite a while and been on the cutting edge of what's been happening on this planet and solutions. So without any further ado, I want to bring Joe on the air. Joe, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, James. Thank you for having me.
Great. You don't mind if I call you Joe, or should I call you Dr. Joe or Dr. Marr?
You can call me whatever feels right to you. Joe's perfectly fine.
Okay, just as long as we call you for dinner, huh?
That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, my God, there are so many things happening right now. I know you do a lot of therapy and things like that, and that might be a good place to start, because I don't know if you've noticed it, but I don't know how you could notice it, but it seems everybody seems to be coming unglued right now, and people who usually could hold their focus, you know, and maintain their center are just totally losing it, and it does seem like there's something. Some energies underneath just pushing this all to the surface. I think it's a good thing, but it's a very chaotic thing, and sometimes a very painful thing when you're in the middle of it. So I'd love to get your take on that.
Well, as we've talked before, James, plus I visited your ranch, which was wonderful, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a lot of insight from traveling throughout the country and the radio shows and the interviews that I've had with special guests like yourself, and doing my own therapies and traditional medicine. But there's so many variables that are going on right now, and people want explanations for what's going on, but you almost have to take each individual person and see where they're coming from, where their awareness is, where their truth lies. And then help them maybe try to explain, because it almost seems counterproductive if you just speak to a large group it might ring true with what you're saying to some of them, but not all. And it's because we all come in with different soul growths and awarenesses. And, you know, sometimes it's quite confusing because it's almost like you're contradicting yourself. And again, it's, you have to take in each individual person case by case. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, people are coming unglued right now, and it does have to do with energy. And the way I look at it is, just because you can't see it, don't mean it don't exist. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only what within the bandwidth of light, the human vision, we can only see a certain amount of that. And then what's beyond our vision, like the ultraviolet light and the infrared. I mean, we know it's there, but we can't perceive it. It's the same with like microorganisms. You know, we didn't know what all was out there until we invented the microscope. So we don't have this inherent tool within us to measure and gauge certain things. So, but my point is, just because we can't perceive it does not mean it's not there. And that kind of sets us up for a whole gamut of discussion with the dimensions that are collapsing down on one another. Mother Earth, who's going through this transition as well. The energies that are coming from the center of the universe, all the planets that are aligning, all these energies are mixing and flowing and raising in vibratory frequency. And those who haven't done the work or refuse to, if they want to stay where they're at, they're fine. It's not, there's nothing negative about it. It's really a choice. But they're the ones that are probably going to have the hardest times with this transition, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I know the people with the deepest wounds are having the hardest time, you know, definitely keeping it together. And you know, sometimes, you know, we're so busy defending and trying to control the energies and things like that. It's the way the energy is coming in right now, so hot and so heavy and so intense. It's like, basically, all you can do is surrender.
Right.
I mean, there's just say, okay, you know, surrender and just become empty as possible and just let it move through you. I'm on a fence about setting boundaries versus becoming empty.
Yeah.
But you know, seems to be a time too for setting boundaries, just going, you know, are we going to just keep creating this circle? Or are we going to step off the merry-go-round, you know?
You know, it's funny you say that. I mean, the way I look at it, the way energy works, thought becomes reality. And each individual person has their own consciousness about them and their own life to live and lessons that they've come in to learn and help other people. But there's also this consciousness field that's around this planet. And the more people that think one thing at one time, that becomes the paradigm or the reality that we all live in, like this 3, maybe into 4D now. I mean, years ago, I would say it was all 3D, but we're moving in and everything's collapsing within these dimensions. So again, sometimes it sounds like we're contradicting ourselves when we speak, but there's just too many variables to explain it in a one paragraph sentence or a couple sentences or one paragraph with what's going on right now. So I'm hoping to get into everything we need to discuss to help people out. And, you know, you just mentioned, an important thing, letting go. And, you know, I had a practice in central Pennsylvania, as you know, and in fact, I had 3 urgent care centers and I was, treating people for diseases through the traditional method, but I also offered them hypnotherapy and Reiki energy or energy medicine and other modalities. And most practitioners won't do that. And it's because that's the way they're trained and because they are stuck in their ways and they don't want to let go of the old for fear of the new. And a lot of what's going on right now is exactly what you say. You just have to surrender and release and move towards the light or what feels good, because we're an emotional body and we need to go with our heart instead of our head right now. Mm-hmm. And myself personally, I sold all of my belongings, my urgent care centers, my home, and everything, and was drawn from my heart out to New Mexico from central Pennsylvania. And I just left everything behind. And people were like, "How can you do that? Aren't you afraid? And isn't that scary?" And I'm like, you don't realize how freeing it is to just get rid of your stuff, just go, and have the ability to just be. It's really peaceful.
Yeah, I understand that. After I had that near-death experience, I could not function. I was in commercial real estate. I had all these people working for me, an office, everything. And I did two steps. One, I went to the desert in the beginning and was up there and went back to just basically swinging a hammer, you know, as a contractor to try to get grounded again. And that was really good to go back up to the desert. And then after that, I went to live in the Redwoods and just pretty much either sold or mostly I just gave everything away. And nobody could believe. They go, "What are you doing? You're nuts! You know, like, why are you getting rid of all this stuff? You know, you." And I just said, "I don't need it. I just don't need it. I'm following my heart here. I can't function in this world anymore.
Right?
I need to get into a world that's supporting my spiritual growth, my spirit, not my ego and materialism and all these other things." Right. And so, what's funny is that as much as I gave everything away and followed my spirit, it all came back. It keeps coming back more and more. It's like the universe loves a vacuum.
Oh, I'm telling you, you're exactly right. And it's just things in synchronicity. And one thing with what you're mentioning was, it's nice to have the opposition here in this dualistic world. That's one of the variables is, you know, hot, cold, good, bad, up, down, all this stuff. And without the opposition, there's really no growth. So it's here for a reason. We incarnated knowing we were going to go through this and help ourselves and other people and the planet. And what's funny is once you leave, like when I left, and I've been away for months, and I mean, I was a pretty grounded person with my family and never thought I'd ever leave because, you know, we have a close-knit family and everything. But, you know, after leaving and being so peaceful and just being, coming back, it's so funny to see everything's still the same where I left, and everything is new where I'm at now. You know, it's just so funny. After months and months, you'd think some things would change, but they wouldn't. And yet your family still thinks you're crazy or nuts, as you say. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you giving all your stuff away? And why are you moving? And to me, it's not, I've never had a more freeing feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't understand it, but it's, you know, basically it's all about following your heart and your happiness. And if you're, you know, sometimes you got to totally change everything, your environment, sometimes relationships, sometimes everything. You know, I'm not saying run away from anything, but it is. Sometimes you go, okay, this is the old me. This doesn't support who I am now anymore. Maybe I need to start creating something different, you know, a different reality and surround myself in a space that is more, that feeds that, you know. Like, I love what Yogananda said. He said, you know, you have your biological family and then you have your spiritual family. And, you know, if your brother's a thief or a murderer or whatever, you still have to love him. And, doesn't mean you have to agree with what he does, but you hang out with your spiritual family because that's where you're fed. You know, that's what supports you and gives you sustenance.
Right. You know, it's so funny how, you know, my consciousness has changed. And before, you know, you're taught, and as you say many times, programmed from birth on with the media and the educational system and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you start, like myself anyway, not everybody does this, but I was on a path for the truth. You know, I was like, what the heck is the truth? None of this makes sense to me. And then all of a sudden, some people will say you wake up, but I think it's more about remembrance. It's like, oh, this is where I am. And this is why I know what I know deep down that it isn't right. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I love that saying, you know, Jesus said, basically, you must become like a child before you can enter the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And people go, oh, does that mean, you know, I are reborn again, you know, or whatever. And they said, oh, does that mean I need to be shoved back into the womb or forget everything and just become, and in a way, basically reborn is when you let the spirit come in and take over.
Right.
And the other one, becoming like a child, we have to develop that lack of judgment, that sense of awe. and let go of so many old patterns and belief systems. No matter how strong we think we need to hold on to these, they might just be a program and a pattern, you know, be it cultural or religious programming. It might be a very limited program. And so we have to back up and always observe ourselves, you know, and see if we are in, you know, projecting and blame and judgment, or, you know, according to our reference points and programs, or, you know, are we going to like internalize this and say, okay, I'm going to take a good long look at this and see where I might have some limited perspectives, or I might have some conditionings or something that's not in my highest and best good.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that was helpful to me is when I realized that you don't just live one life and you come into this thing and you either have to get it right or you're going to hell, or you do a good job, you're going to heaven. That never really made sense to me.
No.
And you're, so, okay. I'm sorry. It's helpful to know that you live thousands of lives, and you know what? You've been the good guy. You've been the bad guy, because mm-hmm. it's about experience. It's about expansion. So that's why we shouldn't judge anybody else, because they've come in here to help other people by being that bad guy or being the good guy this time around. And I really think that, you know, we as spiritual beings living out this human experience, that's what we're here for. We're here to help ourselves grow, help humanity grow, and help the earth grow. And mm-hmm. it makes so much more sense to me that if you stand back and just say, oh, they're just doing their job, and just look at it for what it is, without judgment, without fear, without doubt, see people in compassion, and mm-hmm. it makes your life so much peaceful, much more peaceful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I was working on something just on my own internal program, and I was thinking about it, and, you know, there's an old saying, the only reason anybody has any power over you is because you want something from them, and so that's the hook. So yeah. when we totally love and accept and approve of ourselves, then a lot of these things fall away, and even wanting somebody to heal is a hook, or wanting somebody to act in a different way other than they're acting is a hook. But at the same time too, as I look at that and I just say, well, that's a frequency and that's an energy, and that's being transmitted and acted out, and it's not a healthy one.
Right.
And maybe that's a judgment too. Maybe it is a healthy one. You know, I don't know. But
you know what, James? I agree exactly what you're saying, but basically we all have this discernment about us. Mm-hmm. So you can either become the observer or you can be judgmental.
Yeah.
Basically what you're saying is you're observing a different frequency that don't suit you, so you could easily walk away from it. Mm-hmm. And that's what this opposition or this duality is about. And we're here to become the masters, and you mentioned Jesus. He also said, you will do these things and greater things. Mm-hmm. And so what I think he was on this planet, he was a human being just like we are. I don't think he was a messiah that he wanted to be venerated and all this stuff. I think that he was showing us our highest potential as human beings.
Yeah. You know, he did say very clearly, you know, he told people not to follow him. He said, don't. He said, you know, when you worship the God in me, you're diminishing the God within yourself.
Right.
And he told everybody, you know, the temple is within, you know, ye are all gods, you know, go within, make your own personal God connection, you know, but one of the things I thought was amazing is that he said, ye search the scriptures in vain, for I speak of a living God. And there are so many people. I mean, I was listening to a guy on Coast to Coast a couple nights ago that he had his nose so deep in the scriptures, he was totally oblivious to everything else going on. And he had the religious stance on UFOs and everything, and all according to his book, without looking at any other research or any other people. And you know, he was very, what do you call it, convincing in a way. You might say, as he bent everything according to his reference points, and which basically came out of the Bible, and basically his program was that these are all demons. There's no extraterrestrial life. There's nothing else out there. There's just Earth, and there's a battle here between the demons and the good guys, us being the good guys, the humans, and the demons are trying to take out us, and they're posing as UFOs.
You know, so he said, but humans are the pure ones on the planet. And I go,
in that unilateral 3D way, you could see where he's coming from. But, I mean, there's how many humans that have been on this planet that aren't pure?
I know.
I mean, that's hilarious.
Yeah, when I heard humans are the pure ones, I go, well, let's look at this thing a little bit. You know, it's like we have a long, long history of doing just heinous acts to each other and the planet and destroying our own environment and everything else. And that is also influenced by unseen energies as well. But, you know, the bottom line is we made choices. And those choices have been pretty heinous concerning, you know, what we're doing. And now I love, I think it was Bill Maher, I can't remember, he was talking about how Obama gets something on his cell phone, I don't know, some daily prayer, you know, on his cell phone, which I thought was quite interesting. And, you know, that he's a good Christian. And then he, in the next instance, he's talking about predator drones, and he's just so gung-ho on predator drones and saying how strategic these are and how they surgically remove the terrorist and that they are so precise and so, and nobody gets harmed, you know, none of the innocent people get harmed. But when you look at the statistics, you know, one of the things they do, they go, you know, whatever, Ollie bin whatever terrorist is going to be at a wedding at this house, let's just blow the whole house up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and so they go, okay, you know, very seldom is the guy, you know, sometimes the guy's sitting in a restaurant, you know, or some guy, you know, and they go, okay, we know where he is. Let's just blast the restaurant, collateral damage. And there's, you know, children and women and, you know, it's all blown apart and laying there ripped to pieces. But, and that's the real story, you know, that's what's really going on. It just blows me away where these leaders are saying war is good, you know, killing's good. We are so self-righteous. We know who's going to die and who's not going to die. We have the power to do this. And basically we're just going to let God sort out everybody after we, you know, send them into the next level, you know, so. But it's pretty insane when you look at the total paradox of what's happening right now on the planet.
Yeah. When a country comes in with the mentality of preemptive attack before something major happens to us, I mean, that's a fear-based thinking. And you get the country behind you for something that really doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
in the name of God? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things that have always bothered me all my life, and the Crusades and all the other things in the name of God. I'm like, what in the heck is going on this planet? I can't believe that there's this loving, forgiving God that, you know, we're fighting for. You know, it just didn't make sense to me.
It's a pretty wimpy God, you know. This guy can't fight his own battles? Come on, you know. I thought the guy was omnipotent and, you know. So basically, why does he need us to go around and kill everybody that supposedly he does not have favor with? You know, it does not. You know, they say on one hand God is all loving and all forgiving. You know, that's the image Jesus gave us. And then on the other hand, they say he's jealous and wrathful, and you step out of line, you know, you can be murdered or stoned at any time.
Right.
You know, total
and,
paradox.
You know, over the years, what I've found is life doesn't happen to you. It happens from you because thought becomes reality. And as I tell different people, as I lecture and I discuss this on the radio shows such as yours, is, you know, just to give people a visual from the radio here, the people that go to church to pray, it's not the church or the denomination that creates the miracle, at least the perceived miracle. It's the thought, and everybody in that particular, it's the communion of people with the same thought and the same intent in mind at that time is what creates what we consider a miracle. So we're all co-creators of this thing called life. And what you put out, it's called law of attraction. What you put out, you bring back to yourself. So the more you align yourself with this negativity and planted acts and the biru and all the other things, when you focus your attention towards that, then guess what? You bring more of that fear and doom and gloom stuff to yourself. But what I would like to say is for people that are experiencing that, shift your thought to something more positive and see what happens. Change your life a little bit, because you can make the change internally. And as you raise in your vibratory frequency, this is another thing. People don't realize it, but just by meditating and going within and working on yourself and getting rid of your cellular memories, your negativity, attachments, or whatever, you raise in frequency. And as you walk the planet, it's almost like a domino effect. The people that you come into contact with that have a lower vibratory frequency, they'll raise to match yours. That's how energy works. And so what can one individual do on this big planet to help change what's going on? Work on yourself. That's my biggest message.
You know, that's the message here that we've been trying to get out there, is that rather than externalize everything and blame and whatever, you know, we need to shift our energies and internalize things and just say, what is it in me, you know, that's being triggered here? What is it in me that's being affected?
Right.
You know, what am I defending? You know, right. and start, you know, really going deep and looking at that, and then you have solutions. But you know, it doesn't mean the other person is going to heal on the other side. They could continue doing whatever they're doing, but you know, the hooks aren't there anymore. It's not going to be affecting us. But at the same time, it's kind of, now this is the big quagmire, you know. So you want to maintain an energy or a frequency. And if you have somebody in a group, let's say that is really pulling in the negative and sending you constant nasty grams and trying to get everybody else to agree with them, taking down the frequency, then, you know, what would be the next step there?
Well, when that happens, people that are experiencing that either need to walk away, because that's your discernment, somehow get away from that particular person or that situation. But mainly what happens with the law of attraction with energy is, as you raise in frequency, these negative entities or people or whoever, they can't reach your vibratory frequency after a while. I mean, it's hard at first, or it seems to be hard, but you're working on yourself as well as your environment, your everything that's around you. And as things change and they raise in frequency, the negativity just can't reach you anymore. And you'll see it more and more as the higher you go. And then all of a sudden, if you're open, like a lot of people are like, how come nobody's seeing UFOs, or I'm not seeing a UFO, or the people that see them are open to it, and they raise in a frequency that they can, how should I say, maybe meet me halfway type of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're real low and these entities are real high, like the ET entities that are from these higher dimensions, they don't even see you. It's like us looking at a microscopic bug. Like we don't even look for them, because not that they're insignificant, but many times we view it as such because they're just not within our visual acuity, or they're almost out of sight, out of mind type thing. But if you raise in frequency, your light gets brighter. Now all of a sudden the ETs, if you want to call them that, or our star family, they can now perceive you and you can perceive them. It's almost like meeting halfway. And, you know, I think, you know, I've spent some time there at your ranch, and within the first 15 minutes we were there, we saw like 30 in the sky, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I want to go back to this other thing now. So basically what I see now, this is my perspective, is that if we all internalize and go within and clear this energy up, keep clearing it and keep holding a frequency,
right?
That whatever is being expressed negatively has only two options. One is to heal, or two is to move, you know, to move on. You know, those are the only two options. But the other thing too is, if we agree with it, and if enough people agree with it, then it can still run amok and do its thing. Or if enough people participate in the judgments or the accusations or whatever else that are being flying out, you know, the more people agree with it and participate in it, the more that energy is going to affect the whole. And you know, it's really tricky. You know, it's a dance that I'm trying to figure out. When do you step in and say, okay, enough?
Right.
And you know, enough projections, you know, enough whatever, you know,
And when do you say, and when do you just keep clearing it? You know, sometimes it's a full-time job if you're surrounded right. by it.
Well, again, like I said, the higher you go in energy and your frequency, all of a sudden, you know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. Those who suit you, and you'll keep raising. And that's what I said before. It's like, I always thought if I find out the truth, what the heck is going on this planet, I'm going to tell everybody. Well, it turns out that I found out that I did find the truth, but everybody's truth is their own. It's individualized because of their soul growth, whether they're an ancient soul or a baby soul. It has to do with the consciousness field and what everybody believes at one time collectively. I mean, there's so much to this, but mm-hmm. becoming a master of your own internal affairs or your humanness, that's what we're here to do. And we're here to help one another along the way. I know we have, I hate to use the word contract because people think, what? No, that's not right. But I mean, we do decide to help one another coming through prior to incarnation, I think. Mm-hmm. And I also think that through energy, the more positive you put out, the more you're going to attract yourself. And again, birds of a feather flock together. And those people that no longer suit you, the negativity, it's just not there anymore. You just don't see it because your attention isn't towards it. But, you know, people like ourselves, like you're on the radio and I'm on radio and other people, because of the interviews that we do, it's almost like when you interview various people, they all come from different walks of life and all over the planet. And to help different people understand the whole gamut of what's going on, you almost have to put the pieces to the puzzle together. You can't just spout off about just religion and that's it, because it doesn't make sense to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's you know, going into religion, there's one thing that I found really interesting is that another thing Jesus said, you know, he said, there should come a day when man shall not worship, you know, God in the mountaintops or in the churches, but within self. And when you really get out, I think people should break out of their boxes. I don't really believe in religion. You know, I think it's an extreme limitation. But if people want to do that, they can. But I believe that we need to transcend all religious and cultural boundaries,
right,
and get back into loving everybody and everything. And being able to go here or go there, you know, I spent a lot of time sitting, you know, with lamas and yogis and a lot of different churches. You know, some churches I'm not real welcome in, you know, you know, especially local, so, you know, they go, there's that guy, you know, but there's a guy that talks to UFOs, you know, or they're the devil, you know, or whatever, you know, but it's all okay. You know, I understand that, you know, I understand that mindset and where it comes from and that program, but you know, how long are we going to run this program? It's just like, when are we going to continue? You know, when are we going to stop the separation game that is leading to war and all the, you know, even separation with the planet itself? You know, we think we're separate from the planet. Look what we're doing to the planet. Yeah. Look what we're doing to other countries, you know, in the guise of religion or whatever, or self-righteousness. It's pretty screwed up, you know, and someday we're going to have to drop that program.
Well, just a short bit on the religion. I think that religion has a place. I'm no longer there. Like, I was born and raised a Catholic, and I just reminded that I was an older boy and all this just yesterday, and I forgot about it. And at that time, it was something that was necessary for me to become more enlightened, for to focus prayer and intent. So I see a positive side of it, and I look at it as a blessing in disguise. Like, I don't see it like that now. I look at it like, okay, so say you're maybe creating criminal acts or murders and stuff, and religion brings you to a state where you no longer do that and you're in a more positive state. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the be all end all right there. I think that you need to keep spreading your wings and just go higher and higher and higher. Mm-hmm. So it does have a place, but where I'm at now, I'm almost like at a higher perspective looking down, not in a negative way, just observing like, oh wow, I see where I was and look where I've come from. So again, that's that opposition that can, if I look back, I can see where I was to see what my growth is today.
Yeah, so. I agree. It's like a nest, you know, and unfortunately we start getting feathers and wings and, but no, you got to stay in the nest.
Right.
You know, you can't go, you can't fly out there and explore the, you know, all the other genres out there. But, you know, I see it as all these different flavors out there. You know, this diversity is so amazing. And yeah. how all these cultures have these different flavors or different ways. And some of the ways are the same, you know, they're exactly the same. They have the same messages, you know, the golden threads that bind all belief structures together. And then some of them kind of went off the deep end, you know, with saying our image of God and our Messiah is the only Messiah. And, you know, if you choose another, then you're in blasphemy and you're going to go to hell for whatever, forever, you know? So, you know, that end of it, I think we need to drop down. But, you know, I always see these missionaries going out to these other countries, you know, and let's say this missionary goes to India. I know some people here that they're all going to India and they're going down there to convert the Hindu people to Jesus. You know, and they go to Vietnam, you know, and the Buddhists there, and they said, oh, we're trying to, they need to be saved, you know, they need to be converted to Jesus, you know, and then you cross over and you go up to the next level and Jesus and Muhammad and White Eagle and Mary and Mary Magdalene and all these people, beings are all up there hand in hand, arm in arm.
Right.
No problems, you know, and then you come back to the earth and you're going, I don't get it. You know, what's wrong with this picture? The picture is, you know, the humans, you know, and these separative belief systems that they've chosen to entrap themselves in.
Yeah, you know, some of that I can explain in my mind. The way I look at it anyway, this is my truth, is that because we've come here to learn various lessons or help one another throughout, I think that we put a veil before us. And so the five senses we talked about earlier, if I knew I was a god or a godlike being that I could be anywhere at any time, I can bet you right now that I wouldn't want to be in this thick, dense, dualistic world right now.
Yeah.
I would be back in heaven, bliss, or wherever. So just so you know, I think that we come in here with limited perspective just so we accomplish the goals that we've come here to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And what had happened was, in my opinion, I think that some beings that are just a little more knowledgeable or had a higher consciousness by virtue of the dimension that they were in took advantage of humanity and that while we were trying to grow and our own spiritual growth and manipulated us, whether it be through the DNA thing or consciousness thing. And I really think that that's what sent us down this spiraling path of separation away from our source, our God, our connection with source or the universe and the mm-hmm. planet and everything else. So I think it's important to say, you know, like we're as human, and we do have power, but we didn't even know it for generations. We just thought that, you know, we're just these little monkeys on this planet and we have a God that we have to pray to. We don't, most of the time, we don't realize, at least I didn't before, I didn't realize the whole gamut of how powerful each individual person is. And yet collectively, the magnitude of us creating and co-creating, how mm-hmm. powerful that is. And I think it was important to say that it's not all our fault because the manipulation of the people taking advantage that probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I agree. But you have to know what I see is you've got to know the real history to see where you went wrong. You might say, or even wrong's a judgment, but how you got lost into this separation game and disempowered. Right. And then once you see, you know, the real history of Earth, what really happened, then you can go, wow, that's where those images came from. That's where this program came from. And now that I've advanced and I'm a little more evolved, I can look at this and let it go and just say, wow, this is really, this is really disempowering. And I can't think of another of a truth that's more disempowering And this may upset a lot of Christians, but the idea of a savior that's going to come and do everything for you.
Right.
And then a God that you can either blame or give credit to, or a devil, which you can blame for everything.
Right.
That's the most disempowering belief system I've ever seen. And I'm not saying that there aren't masters out there, and I'm not saying that there aren't darker forces out there.
Right.
What I'm saying is that whatever happened to personal choice and right. personal responsibility,
right.
and it is just so disempowering to project all your power outside of yourself and all your responsibility outside of yourself, and
right.
and to keep blaming or whatever, you know, some external source for the choices that we've made and the reactions to the actions.
Right. No, I totally agree. And again, once you can see the truth of the matter, and I hate to talk about the negativity part of things or the way people look at that. I mean, I used to look at it as negative. Now I just see it as opposition. But again, it becomes your perspective. But without mm-hmm. the history, you can't release it because you just don't understand. And then once you, because thought becomes reality and what you believe manifests. So once you can see that you've been duped, and that's the best way I can say.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you can say, oh, okay, so this is for real. This stuff is real. This isn't just some woo-woo stuff that these crazy guys are out there talking about. This is for real. This is how the universe works. As above, so below, the DNA, what out there is inside each individual person. I mean, for a good example of that is DNA itself. You can create a liver if you take a sample of the pancreas. All the codes are encoded, and I think that's how the universe, universally speaking, if you want to put it that way, it works throughout the cosmos like that way. Mm-hmm. So there's codes in everything and everybody, and that's why we're all connected as one. And yet, you know, if without knowing the history, at least in this dimension, we're a mind-centered individual, at least that's part of us as humanity. I mean, there's emotional, mental body, the spiritual, the physicalness. So if you account for the mental part and go back through the history and see all the things we're talking about here, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. And now you can bring yourself out of the muck. And when you said about the masters and some of the negative ones, they absolutely exist. They're a paradigm. They're a reality in of themselves. And say the masters, I don't rely on them. I have my own inner power. But if you could picture, like, they're almost like a friend, and they have a higher perspective because you put yourself here with these blinders on. So why does it hurt to just say, hey, I'm going to look up at my master friend or the archangel or whatever and say, hey, what do you see up there that I can't see down here to give me a nudge or a help in the right direction? Like, if you're up on a ladder and you're in this maze, I mean, the master is, and you look up and say, hey, what, you know, can I get a little help here? And, you know, a lot of the positive individuals, the masters, like we've been talking about, they are here for service to others, not themselves. And that's who you want to call upon. But, again, we have our own inner power, and, trying to traverse this planet, this universe with, a knowing that was altered or changed. And again, that's why I keep saying we're duped. I mean, all the Bibles and all these things that we've been taught in school and CNN and all the other crap that's out there. It's just, man, when people wake up to it or remember, to me, it's shocking. It's like, oh my God, how the whole planet is asleep. And here I am. There's only a few of us awake. Who do you talk to about this stuff? Because they think you're crazy.
Yeah. You know, when you say you ask just a couple questions, well, almost all the Bibles talk about God being omnipresent, right? And they talk about us being sons and daughters of God.
Right.
Well, to me, if God is omnipresent, then it's everywhere and everything right. and everyone. There's no other definition for that as being omnipresent, you know. And when they say he's closer than the hair on your head, it is the hair on your head, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's one thing that seems to be vastly overlooked. You know, the other one is, God, I lost my train of thought. Well, that was the first one, I guess, is omnipresent. And then, you know, people get really upset about that. And I go, well, just think about it. Oh, the other thing is that if you're a child of God, do you ever grow up? And if you do grow up, you know, what do you become? And Meister Eckhart talked about that. I think he said if, you know, pear seeds produce pear trees and nut seeds produce nut trees, what do God seeds produce? You know?
Yeah.
You know, I think they pretty much took him out for that one, but, you know, they anybody that becomes enlightened to these two basic premises, that one, God is omnipresent, and then they stop playing the separation game, and then two, you got to get over all the years of fear and unworthiness and guilt that's reaped upon you to actually accept the fact that the Father and you are one, which is what Jesus said.
That's it.
And he said, you know, he goes, I myself do nothing. The Father through me doeth the works. The Father and I are one. I don't even like to use the word Father, because even that implies a division.
Yeah.
You know, so I would call it the mother, Father, Mother, God principle, whatever name you want to give it. But, you know, let's drop all the divisions and get back to the basic teachings, you know, and then everything else just falls away. Then you don't have to judge, you know, the Muslim or the Christian or the Hebrew or the Hindu or any of the other ones, you know, the Buddhist, you know, you can say, oh, there's another expression of God, you know, there's God in all its diversity. I'm going to go see, I want to check that expression out. And see what it has to offer. You know, it's just a whole different mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because, you know, within each genre or each religion or each whatever you get into, there is probably, if you're attracted to it, there's something there for you. You don't have to believe the entirety of the particular religion or whatever. I mean, there's constant growth. And you had mentioned about the Father. Well, or growing up, I guess, is what the way you put it. Mm-hmm. If we are as above, so below, the way the universe is constantly growing and expanding in consciousness, there is no growing up and that's it, done. Okay, I grew up, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest thing for me to come into terms with when I realized it. I thought, when am I just going to get done? Can't I just get done and go to heaven and then, okay, that's it. Well, because we're constantly growing in the universe, the way energy works, it doesn't stop. You can't destroy it. You just constantly go, 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 go. So, you know, I thought for some reason, I thought that I would finally grow up, as you say, and know it all. Okay, now I can go back to where I came from and just sit there and chill. Yeah. But it's not that easy. We just keep on expanding.
Well, you know, an interesting mindset, if you really think about it, another really deep, deep program is seeking. And seeking something outside of yourself that really has always been there.
Yeah.
You know, so if we stop looking outside of ourselves and start going within, you know, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is within us. And once we access that and expand on that, then we can become one with the source or whatever. And there's probably things even beyond that consciousness. It's an endless process,
right?
You know, but, you know, it's kind of interesting concept is that there are all these games. There's all these games and, you know, we should call them a new religion called dupidity or dupeness or something. I don't know, like you're saying. But I mean, there's all these games that have been given to us, and some of us have been our programs by beings, you know, passing themselves off as gods or teachers or enlightened beings that were self-serving, you know, these programs, I think once we start identifying these programs and realizing where they came from, that's how we're going to regain our freedom, you know, from these programs.
Yeah, and you know, through different channelings and psychics and stuff like that, you know, this was a big growth for me. But what I found was again, what you put out is what you get back. So if I was interviewing all people of the doom and gloom and negativity, then I was attracting more of that to myself and putting more fear out to the public. So I had to come to terms with, okay, how am I going to do the work I want to do? You can't just stay all on the positive side and attract, mm-hmm. you know, birds of a feather flock together, because that's not, you're not helping the people that really need help. And some of the most uncomfortable places I've been to help people, I had to sit and realize, like, what am I doing here? I don't belong here. Well, those are the people that need the most help. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at first I thought that, okay, then, okay, I'm just going to put out all positive stuff and that's it. But without the history and without knowing, it's almost like you have to lead the person, not lead them, but guide them, I guess would be a better way to put it. And say, look, this is what's been going on. Just take a look at it. Do the research yourself. Follow the paper trail. And you'll find the truth is right there before us. All these movies are putting out there, there's so much truth in them. I mean, there's a lot of BS also, but and that's how they mix the human mind up. They'll put a little bit of the truth in there, but then they'll throw some BS in there too, just to confuse you.
Yeah, to steer it in their direction.
Yeah.
You know, the way I look at it, let's say earth changes. A lot of people are going, oh, you know, you're focusing on earth changes and all, that's all doom and gloom. And I go, what's doom and gloom about cleaning up a mess?
Right.
you know, that's your perspective on it. You see it as a bad thing. I see, you know, nature's going to do what nature does.
Right.
And she needs to clean herself up to become the platform for life. And if we are going to move into a much higher evolved state of being, you know, we need a platform of life that will support that. And we also need to clean up what we created in the past, which is a toxic mess, you know. So, right. So is it a bad thing? You know, is it doom and gloom? And why are we labeling it? You know, why do we label it doom and gloom? It might be a good thing and it might be a necessary thing.
Right, right. Yeah. So again, this is all growth for me. I mean, it's difficult because of all the variables and all the situations that are out there to try to get everything straight. I mean, depending where you are in your awareness and what content you're talking about, mm-hmm. it may change the answer that you have at that moment and that to that particular person.
Yeah, because I know, you know, we all have our reference points and we have our comfort zones. And,
right.
and there, you know, there's some people that are so enslaved, they don't even know it. And as long as they have their beer and their TV and their SUV and football games, they don't care. You know, like as soon as that stops, yeah, they're going to be really upset. But I mean, and that's a program they've chosen to incarnate in. You know, who knows? Maybe they did something really wild another lifetime and now they're just going to cruise.
Right, you know? Right. Exactly.
You know, I don't know. But what I'm seeing right now is that, you know, continuing to be enslaved or whatever is not in alignment with where the earth is going. It's not frequency specific to the earth, because those programs that we're enslaved to are going to eventually fold in on themselves.
Oh, yeah. And soon. I mean, we're seeing it now. And that's what, if we want to get into the 2012 phenomenon, I really think that that's what this is about right now. And it's been going on for some time. I don't think that December 21st, 2012, all of a sudden, snap the fingers, now we ascend. And those who decide at that particular moment is going to ascend. And those who just want to, you know, continue their soul growth somewhere else, then that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going through the movement now. And I think that the earth changes that definitely are going to happen. I know they're going to. I think they're gradual. I don't think it's going to be like the 2012 movie that all of a sudden, bam, everything happens.
Uh-huh.
And we're seeing it now. The earth is already shifting. We already know it. We can measure it. And also, you know, just like we are getting rid of cellular memories from lifetime to lifetime time, because that's how DNA works. So does Mother Earth. If she has an area where there was war or poverty, that's a low vibratory frequency, and you can't ascend when you have that attached to your body or your physicalness. So what she needs to do, it's just like a surgeon that'll take out a appendix when you have appendicitis. She just washes herself the way she knows how, which is either a hurricane or a tsunami. Or,
mm-hmm.
And depending on your perspective, sometimes you'll be like, oh, the humanity, all those people died. Well, guess what? They incarnated on this planet in that region for that particular experience. So when you realize that, it wasn't anything that was negative. It was, oh, those people wanted to experience that. It wasn't an accident that they did that. And Mother Earth, you know, she had to do what she had to do to cleanse herself because, you know, the way I look at the Earth is kind of like I look at the human body. There's these little cells, and there's good cells and there's bad cells. And some areas of the Earth could be like considered cancerous cells. And I mean, look what we're doing to this poor planet, raping her and just, you know, all the rainforest and just the destruction and the garbage and the nuclear bombs that we're putting off just for war. It just doesn't make sense. And she has to do something.
Oh yeah. All the depleted uranium and you name it. It's such a mess. And you know, that's what I see too, is that, you know, I think there's different walks of life and some in between, but some people, when they see these earth changes, they're going, yeah, it's about time, you know? It's like, right. They're excited about it and they're flowing with those changes. They've stepped out of the comfort zones and they're tapped in and they have their own personal God connection, creator spirit, whatever you want to call it. And they're just flowing with these changes and they're going, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's clean this planet up. Let's clean up the consciousness. You know, let's create a whole new world, you know, and they're totally into it. And then, you know, you have another group that wants to maintain the status quo, that keep their comfort zones going, that is staying in areas that are very dense and very, let's say, very materialistic or something, and they're not evolving spiritually. So you know, and as you said, if there's been a lot of wars and a lot of negativity, that gets psychometrized into the land. And right. You know, the best way to clean things up sometimes is salt water. You know, you know, yeah, go to the beach. You know, I have to go to Mexico or Hawaii once a year just to get into the ocean and feel those waves go over my head and cleanse my aura and cleanse anything that's been sticking to me in my fields and things like that. It's amazing how healing, you know, and get in touch with the spirits, you know, the kunas of the land and things like that. And just amazing, you know, and then you come back and deal with, you know, civilization.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, you really think about it, you know, a massive storm with a lot of electricity, an earthquake, salt water, tsunamis, whatever, those all are re-energizing that area and changing the frequencies of that area. And it's part of the process. And some areas need a lot of that. And that's why they're having the disasters in those areas. And I think too, people move to those areas because they need cleansing, you know, they need help too. You know, so
right. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they're attracted to that denser frequency. And so they need an experience to move their eternal souls forward, you know, or move them, you know, in a more positive direction, you know. So I guess when you get past the concept of death as an ending,
right,
and you see everything as a spiral, you know, that it's a, and you know, the sacred circle of life, then you can let go of that, you know, that old program as death being a bad thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't think people realize how connected to the earth that we really are. I mean, it's just like the cells in our body, on our body, all over. We are on this planet and the ecosystem we are just totally connected to. That's what feeds us. It nourishes us. It gives us our atmosphere, the rainwater. I mean, just on and on and on. And we separate ourselves from the earth. It's almost like we're killing ourselves, you know. So if you truly look at it, like, you wouldn't want to take a knife and start chopping your arm, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, some are willing participants in that. You know, we look at the chemtrails, we look at all the other toxins, the depleted uranium are spreading out everywhere. You know, the nuclear Fukushimas, you know, that are ticking time bombs waiting to go off. You know, it's like we're all participating in cutting our own arm off. And I'm just wondering when the masses are going to wake up and just say, hey, I don't care if you guys are making millions and billions of dollars doing this. It's not good and it's not working and we're going to do something else.
Right.
You know,
I really think that that's what's happening with the 2012 movement too, James, is that people are starting to wake up more and more. I don't know if you're seeing that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You can tell by, the frequencies that people have and that are coming through. And I mean, all this stuff is happening so quick and at one time that, you know, I think that's what the Mayan calendar and the Aztecs and all the other indigenous people on the planet had, they knew this was all going to happen and they knew about cycles. And mm-hmm. so when you equate all the other things we talked about with the way the universe actually works and what has happened in the past will probably continue to happen in the future. It's all part of the plan, the greater plan or grand scheme of, and we just have to either go with the flow, surrender and release, and work on ourselves and quit becoming the victim and blaming other people, heal ourselves. And Jesus said, you know, heal thyself. And because we all can do that, we just have been told we can't do it. And therefore it's a belief or a program. And until you can open up or break out of that, you're in the same paradigm. But as these dimensions collapse, I really think that our senses, all our five senses, and then whatever else that we as humans can do, you know, I mean, just picture the DNA, we're only using 3%, and then 8 to 10% of our brain function. I mean, if that all turned up, how effective or what could humans do at that particular point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It seems to be happening. That's a whole nother show in itself. And unfortunately, we're out of time. As far as the evolution that we're currently under and the process and how intense it is. But we'll have to get you back on and we can go into round two on all that and see what comes out of that. What's the easiest way for people to get in touch with you if somebody wants to look you up?
I have two websites. One is aguidinglight.com. And I have that particular website has, meditations and stuff like that. So it'll help people go within and cleanse and heal themselves. I do personal healings and readings also. The other website is universaltalk.info. And that has all of the information and it's archived there. I haven't done any interviews because I've been on the other end of the mic, so to speak, more mm-hmm. recently. But you're on there. You know, I interviewed you and other people like you to put the pieces to the puzzle together about what the heck is going on this planet at this time. And once people can review it themselves, they can make their own discernment or their own judgment about what's going on.
Sounds good. Hey, well, anyway, we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll definitely have to do round two.
Awesome. Thank you so much, James.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. This is James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great day.
BBSRadio.com. It's not mainstream. It could be here. Information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth.